Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. It's Carl and the Bot. We're ready to rock and roll. It's a big day today. Joined by Kelly. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And, of course, my soulmate, Linda. Good morning.
Hey, I'm locked and loaded.
You locked and loaded?
Okay, shooter.
We're ready.
First of all, I want to talk about it is a momentous, monumental, historical day throughout the world. And, of course, we wake up in the morning, we flip on Fox, and it's just... It's amazing, but what I would like to start off with today is something that we keep forgetting in our joy or some joy of the new president taking office is the fact that I think that we need to say thank you for all of his faults and foibles, and thank you to President Bush, because I can say sincerely in my heart that when 9/11 happened, I was glad he was my president. I felt safe. I felt that he was fast and that he commanded in a way that made me feel like we are not going to fall apart. So if anything out of the 8 years, I want to say thank you for that.
Well, you know, I think that most of the nation believed, you know, felt that way during that time frame. And it's amazing. And, you know, since then, the vilification. And I just, you know what, if there's anything that comes out of this election, I hope that maybe we can put that behind us, that we don't have to vilify somebody, that we can disagree. You know, Kelly and I disagree on things, but we don't hate each other. We don't vilify each other. You know, we can talk, and we still laugh and joke around here. How do you feel about today, Kelly?
Oh, I'm stoked.
You know what? I think that we all should be stoked.
It's a good, great day to be an American.
I think that it's time. You know, I think everybody should give our new president-elect a chance. And if we don't, we're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to harm ourselves. And here's the other great thing is how many times I've been in places trying to restore order. And here it is, the greatest nation, the strongest nation, most powerful nation on the face of the earth, has a peaceful transition of power where you can just say that somebody that is in opposition of many of the policies of the person in front of him. And they sit down together, they have coffee, their wives hug, their kids say hello to each other. And he passes on the reins of power, probably the most powerful, most burdensome position in this entire world to another man. And it's peaceful, and he helps him, and he's there to help him in the future. How wonderful is that? How wonderful to live in a country like that.
And our children are watching if they're watching the monitors and television, I'm sure that throughout America, I would think that in your classrooms they were going to be showing the inauguration.
Oh, I should hope so. And what we're trying to do, too, is get some of our high school students in, you know, to call in here in the next couple of days, tell us what it means to them. What's this inauguration mean? Because a lot of them now are old enough to understand that they've got involved with the election. So it's going to be interesting to see, but to hear what they think, too. Now, our guest today is Senator Sam Onestad, and we're going to be talking a number of things. We've got to take a break here, of course, but when we come back, we'll have the senator on. We want to talk about the state of California and a few other things here, especially we're going to talk a little bit about the city council meeting that goes on tonight. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, this is Carl Lindabot. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. And our guest on this momentous day is Senator Sam Onestad. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
How are you doing today, Senator?
I'm doing great.
Well, you know what? It's a great day. Big day, huh?
Well, it is. It's a historic day.
Thank you for being with us. Where are you at the moment?
I'm at home getting ready to go into Sacramento.
So we're going to pass that budget today, huh?
No, actually, the majority party members are, most of them are in Washington celebrating the inauguration. And so the Republicans have called a caucus where we're going to get together both the Assembly and the Senate, and we're going to get together and do a couple of days' worth of planning.
Yeah. Well, who's going to, I mean, who paid for that trip back to D.C. for the Democrats?
You know, most of it is individual campaign funds.
Okay.
And that is a legitimate way to spend some campaign money, is to go do party activities.
Well, I can understand that, as long as it's not taken out of my dollars.
It's not the taxpayers.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I mean, it's, you know, that's a change.
Yeah.
So, now, we got, by the way, the phone lines are backing up already, Senator. But one of the things that I also want to address is that Mr. Chang, who is the state treasurer,
yes,
says that 1 February we're cutting off a lot of money to people that may need it.
Well, you know, I believe that it's a very real crisis. I have to believe in that we're running out of cash. This has been predicted since last summer. And in the event that the legislature did nothing at all, they told us it was going to be, you know, February, March, somewhere in there, that we would run out of cash. And so I have to believe this is a real crisis.
So, you know, we've gotten a number of emails and phone calls there. You know, some of them are saying that, you know what, that they believe it's just, you know, it's a sham between the governor and the Democrats, that there's been some kind of deal made. Can you get any light on that?
I think if there were some kind of a deal made, we would have heard about it and it would have been done. They've been looking for a way to make a deal. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, legally it takes the Republicans' input for a tax increase. And the Democrats and the governor are adamant that they need a tax increase this year. And the Republicans have not budged on that issue at this point. And so I don't believe there's any deal, and in fact, I'm told just the opposite by my leadership, that things are not close at all.
Wow. Well, let's go to the phones here. David, good morning.
Good morning. I have a statement and a quick question. I have a daughter that just applied for unemployment insurance, you know?
Right.
And her first check came, and it's an IOU that the bank will not cash. And she,
no. Are you kidding about this, David? Really? It was an IOU?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and not only unemployment, but there's, you know, they're even talking about if people have tax refunds coming.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get these IOUs, and they were hoping that the banks would cash them. I don't see why the banks should.
Well, the banks aren't.
That's part of the whole problem that we have.
This is scary reality.
Okay, David, go on.
I'm sorry. My question is, if I'm wrong, correct me, we pay into that that unemployment insurance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Where is that money?
It's basically bankrupt. The Unemployment Insurance Compensation Fund has been near zero for quite some time now, and because of the economy, more people have gone on unemployment in the last year than ever before, and the fund is pretty much running out of existence.
And with this delay with the step, is this supposed to be a month, or could it be longer than that?
That you know, I just can't tell you whether it's going to be 1 month or you know I'm hoping it's we're going to take care of this next week. I wish people were home this week. Here in Sacramento, so that we could get to work and do some of the things that need to be done, so that we didn't have this problem. I think the point I would make here is, you know, at Thanksgiving time, the Democrats and the Republicans together passed out almost $10 billion worth of spending cuts, and we were ready to send them to the Assembly, but because the Democrats did not get a tax increase with that too, they did not send it on to the governor. Now, if we would have, at Thanksgiving time, taken that $10 billion in spending cuts and applied it immediately, we wouldn't be running out of cash in February. So there are things this legislature could have done so that this very real problem wouldn't happen.
Well, but it doesn't help David's daughter or the other hundreds of thousands of people that are getting IOUs right now.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for your time.
Hey, David, you know what? For some reason, what you just said really drove home just how bad this is. And I just hope everybody out there listening hears this. And wants to do something about it.
What can you do? What can we do?
Hey, David, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye. Senator, what can we do?
Well, there's not a whole lot. You know, even I as a senator, I'm one out of 120 legislators. We only get what's presented to us by the leadership, which really is the big five, the leaders of the Senate and the Assembly, Republicans and Democrats, plus the governor. They've been in negotiations almost every day, and when they get ready to present a package for the rest of us to vote on, that's really the only input that we even get. What could people do? The only thing I've been telling them is to say, is for them to call the governor's office, to call the majority parties who's really in control of the agenda, and just tell them, hey, do what you can now. Don't worry about whether you can get new taxes now. If you know that we need to cut spending, let's cut spending now and at least get out of this cash flow problem, and then we'll argue over whether you really need a tax increase after all the spending cuts have been done.
That might make sense.
They want to hold hostage the spending cuts until they get their tax increase.
And we've got to take a break here, Senator. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Give us a call and let the senator know how you feel.
Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on the phone with a Senator Anastad, but you know what? I got to tell you something. We just heard from a caller named David that said that his daughter applied for unemployment and got an IOU. I'm sitting here, Senator, and my heart is beating fast. At the break, we were like, what do we have to do? Should we get thousands of people to protest on the Capitol steps? Because our city, our state is sinking, and people are drinking champagne toasts. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Life goes on, and while we're negotiating one thing, people are celebrating a new era for a new president, and I don't really fault them for that. I understand that they're spending more on this inauguration than any other inauguration, but
160 million.
That's kind of a sad tale. But the fact of the matter is, life does go on, and the fact is that we've got to get the majority party who are basically in control of the agenda in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
Get them to start doing those basic things that can get us back on our feet, and then we don't have to do it all in one fell swoop. It took us 10 years to get into this pickle, as bad as it is today, and we don't have to get it out on just one vote.
No. So, okay, speaking of inaugurations, Paul, inaugurations, what do you have?
Yes, sir. I with the economy and the state that it's in, I'm just, it just kind of makes me mad that, like this inauguration, for instance, they're spending so much money on it. Our leaders could set a good example by, maybe doing something simple over the television, that costs half as much, and take that other $75 million or whatever it is and put it towards something that would, help our economy.
Well, a lot of the money is for security, from what I understand. But you're right. And then the inaugural balls are being paid for by individuals. And in fact, I saw a list of people from California that gave $50,000 or more. Sure. And it's the who's who of Hollywood. And there was people on there that, they under occupation, they said they didn't work. So I don't know how they got the money.
Self-employed.
But no, didn't work either. Well, Paul, I tell you what.
And that is correct.
Yeah.
Most of the inauguration is paid with private funding.
It is. And, people like Spielberg and those in that group there. Anyway, yeah, Paul, that's a good idea. I don't know why they do that. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh,
I'm sorry to carry on here, but I'm feeling, I understand celebration. I, more than anyone, love to celebrate life. Celebrate newness, celebrate a new beginning. And Senator Anastad, why did you stay back?
Well, we, first of all, we in my caucus felt that we should be in Sacramento working on the problem. And so that's what we're going to be doing today and tomorrow. We're not. I'm not really faulting those who decided that they wanted to be part of history and go to the inauguration. I've actually done that in the past myself. And yet I just feel that my job is supposed to be down in Sacramento working on the proposal and get ready for when the majority party gets back.
Well, I tell you what, we've got to take a hard break here. We've got the phone lines lit up, and when we come back, we'll go right to the phone lines here, Senator. And you know what? This is and one of the things I like to for you to think about on the break here is, can we use the term bankruptcy in Chapter 11 for the state?
Well, we're near that, but the state does not have the legal right to go bankrupt. Oh.
Well, maybe we could talk about it anyway. Look, this is Carl on the Bot here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are lit up, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back from this break. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of our show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Best walk-in humidor, finest coffee, and the greatest people to go visit. Go visit Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop. Senator, let's go to the phones here. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing good.
You're on the air. Shoot.
Yeah, here's my question. I'm usually a vote Republican, but my question is I'm wondering, you know, I know both sides need to negotiate, and they usually have their standards on each side, but my question is, do you think some of this might backfire later on the Republicans when initiatives come forward to go to a 50% majority vote for budgets? And so I'm just thinking, depending how far they go, holding out for each side is going to be some kind of backlash on one of the parties or either. And I think probably both at this point, but you know what I'm saying, as far as the Republicans are the minority, I understand that, but and I know what they're trying to do. I believe in what they're trying to do to a point, but when you try to have a hard stance like they do, saying they're not going to do one thing, yet, you know, when you go down to Sacramento, you got to get, there's always give and take down there. That's just the way it is. So I know they're hurting a lot of businesses the way it goes, too. So I'm just wondering, next year when the initiative comes to go to like a 50% vote, and then pretty soon they'll just be, you know, the Republican Party will just kind of be swept to the side, basically.
Okay.
You know, very, very good question. And it's, you know, my personal feeling is I can't worry about it. Yeah. I've got to do what's right now. And I told the voters when I ran for election that I was not going to raise their taxes. California already is one of the most heavily taxed states in the union. We have an economy that is a harder hit than most of the states in the union. Even raising the tax, the sales tax 1% will cost us 60,000 more jobs in California. And so until the majority party, until the governor can show us that they have cut inefficiency and they've cut the waste out, and Republicans have identified $22 billion worth of spending cuts that we could cut right now that does not hit education or public safety or health care. As soon as that they can show us that that is not enough, then I think you'll find that you know, members in my caucus will say, well, maybe they're right. But at this point, nobody has been able to show us that we absolutely need a tax increase. They say it, but nobody can show it. And until they get rid of the waste and inefficiency, my job is to think about the people who voted for me, like you and right. others, and hold true to my promises, which was, hey, I'm not going to raise your taxes unless there's some kind of a natural disaster, and this is not a natural disaster. This is self-inflicted. This is man-made disaster that we could have stopped years ago.
Thank you, Rob. Doug, you're on.
Yes. Please excuse me, but I heard that recently that all the unemployment people are starting to get IOUs. Is that correct?
Yeah, we just heard that today. A gentleman called and said his daughter got her first check was an IOU.
We heard that about a specific individual. That's what we know.
Right. Okay. The question would be is, if we get IOUs, because I'm expecting a tax refund this year, if I get an IOU for tax or I get unemployment, money for or any of this stuff as an eye on you, how am I supposed to pay the credit card bills, my mortgage payment? How do I put gas in the tank? How do I feed my kids at the table with an IOU? Banks don't take them. Grocery stores aren't going to take them. Do I have to go out somewhere, shoot a deer just to feed my family? That's the worst-case scenario, of course. And then the main question is, why should I support a government that does not help the workers? Because it's law? Is it because you're the dictatorship?
What do you mean it doesn't help the workers?
What's that?
How can you say it does not help the workers?
I pay money into unemployment. If I get laid off tomorrow and I go down for unemployment, I get an IOU. How is that going to put gas in the tank, pay my mortgage payment, or how am I supposed to pay the tax at the gas pump?
I understand that, but would you rather have us raise your taxes? Because I assume that you pay taxes, too.
I pay tons of taxes. Everywhere I go, I get paid.
Well,
I have to pay more taxes.
The choice is either we quit spending, either we quit overspending and having programs that spend more than we take in, which is what has happened with this legislature over the years, either that or we've got to raise your taxes.
How about if we just go back to a part-time legislature like we used to?
Well, I would support that. I don't see how that solves the problem, but that's a different question, and I would absolutely support it.
Well, what about these programs that have an automatic?
Let me just tell you, last year, one of the Republican senators did put in a bill to go back to a part-time legislature. It didn't even get assigned to a hearing in one of the committees because the majority party won't even think about it.
Of course not. They're the the ruling party?
Well, they're in control.
You know, Doug, everything you say is correct. And
why should I support the California government?
Well, the thing is that we've got to work this. They have got to work this out. And the fact is that it's going to hurt so many people, and people being hurt right now, that I hope that when the people return from the inauguration, the people that in the ruling, when I say the ruling, but in the majority party, is that they get, that they wake up, get their heads out of their rear ends, and then everybody works together. If we can cut, and I believe what Senator said, cut $22 million or $10 billion. What is it, $10 billion, Senator?
We've already agreed
on everybody's
almost
agreed on
billion.
That. Yeah. You know, Doug, right now we're caught between a rock and a hard spot.
I agree. You know, the state is obligated to pay. First, it has to pay indebtedness first, and then it has to pay certain education.
What's indebtedness?
Funds. When you guys pass a bond out there, there's interest and payments on those bonds. That has to be paid first. Then certain educational funds have to be paid. But my feeling is if you overpaid your taxes and you have a refund coming, that I think it should be criminal that you get an IOU because that's not the government's money to begin with.
I wish I could send an IOU when I have to pay taxes.
Well, that's just it. I mean, what if they can send you an IOU on a refund, why can't you send them an IOU on what you owe?
Whoa, okay. I like that kind of talk. Hey, Doug, thanks a lot. We got to take a break here.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug, bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Hey, this is Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here. Well, the phone lines are backed up anyway, so keep calling. Keep trying to get in. We'll get you in on the other side of this break.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carla Linda Bott. We're on the phone with Senator Sam Anastad. We're going to go to the phones. This is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Let's go to caller number 3, Dar. Good morning.
Dar, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can hear you now. And we've only got 8 minutes left because we've got to cut away to the inauguration. So give us 30 seconds because we've got the phone lines lit.
I understand. I am a business owner who is solely Medi-Cal funded, and I'm not the only one in town.
Right.
We just went through a 3-month period where we did not get paid.
Wow.
What I'm wondering is if we go through another period like that, we incurred interest costs from lines of credit and other sources, our credit cards where we couldn't pay them all off. Will the state pick up the interest on the unpaid bills that they did not provide us money for.
Okay, Senator.
Don't have the answer to that. I don't know what the policy is. I doubt it. You know, people who are Medi-Cal providers, whether it's the doctors in the hospitals or people who are providing equipment, have always been the ones who've been treated the worst in the cases where they cut back on Medi-Cal and delay payments. And it's embarrassing in this state that happens, but it happens every year, and it looks like it's going to happen again.
Okay. Hey, Dar, thank you very much.
Got 5 minutes left. Let's go to the next
Bruce,
call.
30 seconds.
Oh, good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Just hang in there on this because we got to face up to this sometime. I'm sure that there's things that can be cut out there that won't hurt essential services. But I had one question for you, then I'll jump off because there's other people there. Why can't we change around and follow like Sheriff Aparo does down in Arizona for part of the criminal system when $3,000 a month and he does it for about $300 a month? And if there's any rule changes that need to be made to where you guys could do that, to where we could do it, house part of those inmates in those kind of facilities. I'll take my answer on the air.
Yeah,
thanks a lot,
and if people are not aware of the sheriff in Arizona, what he has done, it's just been amazing the way he has cut costs and also cut people going back to prison because they don't want to go back to the way that they were housed, which is in tents in the desert. Why California doesn't do it, I don't think there's the political will.
No, there isn't a political will. That would mean that you're saying is that these people are bad people, and we can't have that. You know, our Congress can't say that. It sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? One thing we do, we were talking about on the break, is that, you know, when we asked about you going back there, it was not a joke. It was the fact is that we do appreciate the fact that you could have gone back, and you chose to stay here with and try to work out some of these problems we're facing.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to be honest with you, it's cold back there.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Okay, Martin, you're up.
Yeah, I got a quick solution for this out-of-control spending on inaugurations. Take them on Air Force One, the old president and the new president, fly them up in the air, sign in the new one, and when they land, the new one can roll up his sleeves and get to work.
Well, that's one way of doing it. Yeah, and you don't have to worry about security.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's one of these things, though. You look at, you know, we've got the TV set on in here, too. We're looking at the million people that are out there that are so excited about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand that.
But still, $167 million seems like an awful lot of money.
It's ridiculous, especially in our economy right now.
No, it is terrible. You know, we're talking about IOUs to people we've talked to two or three people here that have just touched us completely about how bad it is.
You think IOUs sending out disconnect notices now, you just wait with these IOUs going out.
That's what I was thinking. And that's
go through the roof.
Yeah. Hey, Martin, thanks a lot.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yes, and what we're talking about here, it's a lot of consternation that people are being abated or evicted from their homes if they can't pay their electrical bills or the utility bills. And there's going to be a city council meeting tonight, and people are going to discuss that. But I don't think it's going to get any better with what's happening already. If we're already getting IOUs. Can you give us any light at all here in the next 2 minutes?
Well, I think the light is something has to give. Something has to give, I can't predict that it's going to be in time that people aren't going to get some IOUs and the state's going to run out of cash. But I'm hoping that something can be done in the next week or two, or it won't be done this week because they don't get back until Thursday, and there's nothing scheduled for Thursday as far as any votes or anything. But hopefully next week we can start agreeing on some major spending cuts that can get the cash flow problem back under control so people can start living normal lives.
Well, Senator, I sure appreciate you being on the show today. You know, any time that you just want to call and give us an update what's going on, feel free to do that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the interest.
Well, thank you so much, Senator, and we'll get a hold of you, and we'll be talking with you in the near future about what's going on. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. We're going to have to break here because we're going to be coming into the swearing-in ceremony. Please go to freefireradio.com. This is Carl and Linda Bott, and...
Hey, you know what? We've got a city council meeting tonight. I plan on being down there to see what's going on. We've got, by the way, Thursday we're going to be talking about the state of Jefferson, which maybe that's what we need up here now. And, you know, and maybe the other thing we need to do is get a bunch of us that anywhere from bikers to religious people for, you know, to go down for change, you know, and maybe have a couple thousand cars and trucks go down to Sacramento and circle the Capitol building. You know, I'm getting tired of this. I know you are too. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Go to our website, freefireradio.com, and just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?